Sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Turn to page 37 and let's chant the Four Measurables chanting version and then the two mantras below that. So if you have the white binder, we'll chant the Tibetan words by the music notes one time. San Chen Tam Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind the people on the prayer list I just read. Om Mani Padme story, okay?
Oh, yeah, story? It's up to you.
Up to me? How about story?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, story? Okay.
Story.
Well, this story is from the Jataka Tales. And the Jataka Tales, whoops, this is easier. So, do you need a cushion? No? Okay.
The Jataka tales are stories of the Buddha's past lives. So, King Brahmadatta ruled and lived in the city of Benares, in a very remote village in his kingdom. The Buddha was born as an iguana and lived in a termite hill. An iguana. An iguana is a big lizard with funny head. So, in the same remote village, there lived a very, very holy man. And he lived in the temple and said his prayers and gave kind talks a couple of times a day. And the villagers so appreciated him, they took care of him. Well, the iguana came twice a day to hear the holy man's talks and prayers, and he would listen very carefully. Very carefully. But after doing that for several years, he told the villagers he was going to the Himalayas to find a cave because he wanted to do full retreat. And so the villagers wished him well, and he went off. Well, a week or so later, another holy man arrived and moved into the temple. And he and the villagers in the same way took care of him. And the iguana would come a couple of times a day and sit and watch. And sometimes the holy man was praying. Well, this went on for a while and was a very, very peaceful. But one night there was a terrible, terrible rainstorm. And the iguana and the termites who lived in their termite hills flew out to save themselves from the water, from being drowned. Well, the iguanas saw this and they thought, oops, termite feast. And so they ran out and they ate the termites. Well, the villagers said, ooh, iguanas, iguana feast. And so when all these iguanas were running around, they killed and cooked the iguanas. I know this sounds very, very sad. But so what happened next was they offered some of this iguana meat to the new holy man. So then he tasted the iguana meat and he said, oh, wow, this is really delicious. I want more iguana meat. And then he thought to himself, there's a really big iguana that comes to see me twice a day. What am I think I will kill and eat him. So you're beginning to get the picture that maybe this new holy man was kind of a fake. Yeah, kind of a fake. So he says to the villagers, I need a pot and some salt and pepper so I can cook food. And so the villagers provided that for him. And then he made a club because he was going to kill this iguana that came to see him twice a day. Well, the next day, the iguana comes as usual. But he's thinking there's something a little different here. And he kind of sniffs, and he smells iguana meat on the robes of the fake holy man. And so rather than going and sitting up close, he's very careful. And he kind of keeps his distance. Well, he's so far away that the club that the holy man has hidden, he can't just bonk him on the head, so he throws him at him. Well, guess what? The holy man didn't have good aim. He just hit his tail. So at this point, the holy man is really mad. You come back here, iguana. You're going to be my dinner. And the iguana just goes off to his termite hill and hides, and there's the holy man. And the iguana sticks his head out and says, I thought you were a holy man. I don't think you're so holy. So what are you thinking? And the holy man said, oops, my number's up. You know what it means by this number? I'm found out. And so the iguana stuck his head back in the termite hill. And the holy man thought to himself, this iguana is going to tell the villagers on me. And there goes my free lunch. So he runs off to the forest. And that's kind of the end of the story But then the Buddha says to the monks around him, I was the iguana. I was the iguana born in that termite hill before I was fully enlightened. And that's where I began to learn and practice that you have to be very, very careful about who you make friends with. And you have to watch what they do. And sometimes you have to stand back until you figure out that it's safe, he said. But I continued to live in the termite hill. And finally another holy man came. And he had the same kind of sweet voice and would say prayers and give talks. And I was able to go back and listen to him. The end.
Good morning. Maybe begin with a short meditation, okay? Short meditation. Short means only 2 hours. 2 minutes. I think that's 2 hours. It's 2 hours or? So please, would you mind to take 1 minute to introduce yourself, so then I'll start the class.
From Santa Fe.
Oh, you're from Santa Fe.
Back to Santa Fe.
Oh.
So I wanted to say hello. We're moving soon, but at least we were in Chapel Hill, and I know he said, "Oh, my friend Geshe Gelag is there."
Oh, yeah.
So we thought it was good to move here, and now we're moving back. But we have a box of books that we were going to ship out to Santa Fe, you know, for the library out there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. If you don't mind, I was wondering how many of you are very new to meditations? How many of you are very new to meditations? If you don't mind, raise. Then I will, you know, share some of my understanding about meditations. Okay, so with you. There are different types of meditations. Probably a lot of you are aware. single-pointed meditations. So there's like analytical meditations. So analytical meditation is very powerful, but you know, it does not. You don't focus on single object, but you know, you think. You think about maybe impermanent, you think about, you know, nature of samsara, you think about karma, you think about emptiness. let's call analytical meditation, then you know, or the best like is like to, when you read after that, then you know, doing analytical meditations, that helps, you know. So, and if you remember certain material by your heart, then you can review them, you know, so then you can sit, then you can review them, then you can pick certain topic, then you can analyze or maybe brainstorm. That's called analytical meditation. So that meditation, you know, noise doesn't matter. Noise, you know, hear people talking, people make noise there, you know, doesn't matter. Because your mind is busy with analyzing important subjects or important topics. So. But single point meditations, you know, noise does matter. You know, the noise, any noise become, I say, obstacles. Distractions. Any noise become distractions. So, and here, you know, look just like good number of people, you are very new to meditation, so I want to share with you one very important things. The purpose of meditation is to, you know, to, this is very important for me, for all of us, you know, to reduce disturbing thought. And liberate, the purpose of meditation is to liberate ourselves from disturbing thought. That's very, very important. It's not like, you know, like, oh, meditation is some kind of a new fashion that I would like to try, you know. Oh, I want to become some, no, meditation is the gomtop nimochua, gomtop. Gom, meditations, top, that's power. Nimon, afflicted mind. Chua means less. So, less disturbing thought, our life is going to be better off. Health-wise, like as a physical happiness-wise, we'll be better off. Mental happiness-wise, can I say wise? Will be happier. So therefore, in Buddhism, the knowledge, you know, is much more important than faith. Of course, faith is also not easy to develop. We are not just talking about blind faith. You know, we are faith. There's three different types of faith. It's like so somehow, you know, like faith doesn't get good publicity because now we are not talking about blind faith. Anyway, knowledge is more important. You know, there are certain people when they face difficulties, they are heavily relying on faith. Certain people, when there are problems, they are heavily relying on knowledge. What we call wise. Because, you know, you created, you have the, in the beginning you learn, in the middle, then you reflect what you learn. Then whatever you learn at the beginning, it all reflects back to you. It's like very important instructions, critical instructions. Every word, you know, means something, you know, it's like something important. You know? Then in the end, day and night, you meditate. Then that's how you liberate. Then that liberation is going to be everlasting vacations. You know, no more, no, the free, you are basically free. So back to the point. This is very, very important. You know, including myself, all my friends here, and like all of you who are, you know, first time, very new to meditations. So that's very, very important to remember, why disturbing thought, whenever they arise, there will be no happiness. There will be no peace of mind, there will be no happiness, no matter how much money you have, no matter how wonderful house that you live in, no matter how like expensive car you drive, you are not happy. There's no happiness. No? You can have like $1,000 in your pocket at the same time, you are very much disturbed by your thought. So that's why modern science is very much based on matters. They analyze matters. You know how things work. Buddhism, that's why they call, you know, mental science. Buddhism is very much, it's all about, you know, the mind, how to solve the problem through the mind, through thinking. That's why meditation becomes very, very important. So the single point of meditations, I think liberations, in order to achieve liberations, we need to do both. Sometimes single-pointed meditation, sometimes analytical meditations, both. That's how we liberate, okay? Single-pointed meditations, the temporary benefit. Temporary benefit, you can make your mind calm and peaceful. Sometimes His Holiness joking this call, it's like tranquilizer. But you know, someday means concentration. Someday in Tibetan word, someday means concentrations. Someday, jishi, you know, concentration makes our mind calm and peaceful. Lo yi tol, lo means wisdom. Wisdom liberates. Wisdom liberates, you know, means knowledge. Not don't the wise have a lot of features. So, in order to use that full functions, you need to educate, you need to learn. That's like not knowing become obstacles between you and the feature of the clock. You can't just sit there, you know, to wish, you know, may I able to use this old feature. That's not going to help. But you have to learn. So then when you learn, then you can use all of them. Then not just that, you can teach someone else how to use this watch. You know? That's called wisdom, okay, wisdom. Oh, no, you trust. So, single-pointed meditations, what you do is not, you know, like guys, knowledge-wise, not that complicated. But practical level, you know, nothing is easy. Practical level, you know, even just making a tea, it's kind of complicated, not that easy, you know. So you have to boil the water, you have to have tea, and there's many different, it gets more complicated in the West, because you have like 100 or maybe a couple hundred different types of tea. You know, so back in Tibet, there's only one kind of tea. There's no 100 different teas, you know. So then everyone knows how to use that. So, yeah, so sometimes I make tea, the people give me tea, there's a lot of teas, you know. Sometimes whenever I go to other events, they put a lot of different kinds of teas. Usually I like black tea. That's how I make my tea. Sometimes in a long time, I don't know how to, there's so many different kinds of teas. First of all, there's not enough time to read all the labels. Then I just pick one, put there, then two sides, kind of like sweet or sour or something, you know. Good. So anyway, single point in meditation, you know, knowledge-wise, is quite easy, you know. So you choose one single object. That's called single point in meditation. You choose one object, can be anything, can be color, can be your own breath, or can be color, can be, you know, you can choose your own mind, that's more difficult. Any object, but one, just one object. Then you try to place all your mental energy on that object. That's what is called single-pointed meditation. Some day similar, Ongjuru. So then, these concentrations will rule, eventually it will rule your mind. It will rule your mind. Oh? Now, mind rules us. We follow our thought, we follow our mind. Mind don't follow us, no? We get the order from our mind, then we react, we act. We don't give order to our mind, no? Someday, similar, it's like concentration is like the king. They rules all the mind. They rules all the mind. Shama miyo. If you let it be, it's going to be firm as a solid rock. It won't move at all. It won't move. It will just stick with this. It won't move. If you place on this object, it won't move. Next. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it will remain there, solid as a rock. If you let it go, what it does, it just think positive. you just think something good. See? You just go to the positive object. You just think about something positive, you know. You will never think about something negative. You just think about something positive. Tama gewe me okulo. Lusim leso re degenerates result. Physical pliancy, mental pliancy. That's the result of concentration, so. Lama Tsongkhapa, who is the founder of Gelugpa traditions, and he said, you know, that's exactly what I did. If you are seeking liberation, then you do the same thing. He said, you do the same thing. Flexible physical body, flexible mind, that means mind does not become uptight with one something, you know. Flexible. Then it's easy to let it go. It's easy to let it go. Because mind is flexible. It's not tight. Oh? It's not imbalance, it's well balanced. It's not imbalance, well balanced. When the mind becomes imbalanced, the energy that comes with every thought that arises, it has energy. It comes with energy. When their thought becomes imbalanced, that means not flexible, tight. So then energy becomes tight. The energy, where the energy goes, it goes to the channels. Channels, there are 72,000 channels that are located in our body. So I just know the number, so don't ask me the details, I don't know. 72,000 channels. That's where energy goes. That is all this imbalanced energy that goes there, stuck, cause physical difficulties. So then that contributes to mental difficulties. Therefore, when you think something positive, or maybe you concentrate, the best, that's why you concentrate. When you concentrate, you balance the thought. When you balance the thought, then you balance the energy, because every thought comes with energy. See? Then that energy, when you concentrate, that energy, the thought is going to be balanced. Then the very energy that comes with the thought is balanced. Then that energy goes also to channels. So that create physical comfort. Then that contribute to mental comfort. Ultimate result is physical pliancy and mental pliancy. That's why the yoga, no physical yoga. Yoga means practice. It's not like yoga doesn't mean like physical movement. It means practice. Tibetan word is called nanjol. Nanjol. Nanjol means practice. So then, you know, that practice is related to the physical. That's physical yoga. That, you know, quite famous in the West, you know. So the goal, they are hoping that you reach physical flexibility. That's the goal of yoga, physical flex, because it's tight. You can move like this, no? Or put down your head and put down your head. Then put your head down. Then lift up your two legs. At the beginning, you say, how? But eventually, step by step, yeah, you can probably put your head down. You can lift it up slowly, because the physical is tight, it's not flexible. That's why you do physical yoga, to reach physical flexibility. Same, you meditate, that's also another type of yoga. Then you're hoping to reach that your mind becomes flexible. But there will be flexibility in the mind, no? Or doesn't have to be. Or any kind of pizza is fine. Any kind of pizza is fine. Doesn't have to be Papa John pizza like that, you know. Any kind of pizza is fine. No, not that it has to be something very particular. Then that means mind becomes tight. So then unfortunately sometimes become tighter and tighter and tighter. Then like it's hard to let it go. So I just want to share that with you, Gomdob Nyimochungwa. So then, you know, Buddhism is like, that's what they call mental science, because there's so much research been done when it's come down to mind. There's like thousands and thousands of books, all these books, they just talk about, you know, how to define self, who is suffering, how to define, do we have clear idea of what is self? If you just think the body is the self, that's wrong. There's no body, it's not the self. How to define self? Who is suffering? Who is growing? Who is not like experiencing? It's very, very important. I, then say my, is it clear for you? Is I is clear? Is it clear? So then whole set of emptiness teachings, teaching of emptiness, you know, helps us to identify the true self. So many, you know, problems is built on that misconception about self. Then that leads to another complication, then, you know, just like then it's like ongoing complications. So, so that's why then, you know, there also there's so much research been done how to identify self. There's so much is written on all these books. There's something they call fundamental confusions. Fundamental confusions, that's the root of all the problems. It's not our neighbor, it's not our government, you know. The root of, according to Buddhism, the root of all the problems is, you know, like fundamental confusion, that's like ignorance, not knowing oneself. Then from there, right from the beginning, they are saying, I, then my. We don't have very clear idea what is I, what is self. So then, you know, then like that I has been very much exaggerated, superimposed. Huh? So, you know, so then a lot of problems across. So if you are interested, you can read about emptiness. Emptiness, the teaching called emptiness, you can read, and there's a lot of, you know, good information there, okay? So now, bottom line is to liberate the purpose or power of meditation, to liberate ourselves, free ourselves or liberate ourselves from disturbing thought. That's what the meditation is. If you meditate doing that, then your meditation is productive meditation, okay? Productive meditation, no? So now back to the single point of meditation. If your goal is like, I'm just looking for temporary relief, and I'm not like thinking about, oh, maybe everlasting peace. I just want to make my mind calm now. So in that case, no, you can choose and you can change your object. One day you can choose color, next day you can choose trees, you know, like that. If your goal is, okay, I want to reach the highest level of concentrations, in that regard, and changing object is not advisable, not good, you know. Because then if you change, you know, so then the process will be also changed. You know? So now back to the single point of meditation, there's two important things what we need to be aware, be mindful. Mindfulness is part of that. Mindfulness is necessary in order to do single point of meditations, but mindfulness is not single point of meditations. It is part of the single point of meditation. You need, it's all, it's almost like rope. Mind is like elephant, so powerful. If that elephant gets wild, it will destroy a lot of happiness. So that elephant needs to be tamed, trained. What do you have rope. Now mindfulness is like rope, you have rope. What are you trying to do? You are trying to catch that elephant. Object that you choose is like hitching post where you tie your horse. So you have that object, you know, so then elephant is the mind. So now there's another type of mind is also required, what we call introspections. Mind that oversees all your meditation, oversees your mind meditations, called introspections. Huh? In the beginning, you know, probably no need to worry much, you know, so you just concentrate, you know, just to place your mind there. Huh? So then, when you become, you know, a little bit, when you make progress, so then introspection is needed. Otherwise, all of a sudden, you know, in the beginning you meditate, and slowly, slowly, you know. So in monastery, that's how we sit long hours every day, you know. The one thing that you learn before, way before meditations, how to take nap. Looks exactly like meditation, but it's not meditation, it's like napping. In the beginning, you know, that you are a beginner. Then after, you know, year after year, year after year, every day, you know, so then, right in the line, you know, not in the front, not in the back, just right. Then once in a while you see like, no, 2 o'clock in the morning, all the way to 6 o'clock in the evening. There's a long hour of sitting. You know, like there's no heat inside the temple, there's no air conditions. It's kind of hard, you know, it's not like there's no lot of gap, it's like packed. It's just packed, everybody's touching everybody. Because there's no limited space, everybody's touching everybody. So then early 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, so then slowly begin 2 meditations. And then, amazing, you know, amazing. So no, nice bed, can sleep, but like that, the best of it. So then, you know, then, you know, when time goes on, you know, then like mind get kind of like, you know, just go thinking mind, then mind is a little bit slowly thinking. So need to cheer up, need to cheer up. That's the function for introspections, observe. Then you know, now it's kind of like a little bit energy, a little bit up. Then sometimes the energy goes up, 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 like monkey. So need to bring it down. No, it's no. Then you judge that based on your experience, not just exact instructions, but you know, based on your experience. Then you know, if it's too high, bring it down. If it's too low, bring it up. So this mindfulness introspection is part of the single-pointed meditations. So now, you know, you can try, when you go home, you can try, if your mind is like getting out of control, just use one object, you know. Of course, you know, as I mentioned, you know, nothing is easy. Nothing is easy in life, you know, everything requires effort, you know. If you put effort, you can liberate. No, you can think something positive. No, every day, no, you can think something positive. No. You can find reason to be happy. Then you become happy, build habit of that. No, ask yourself, am I happy? If the answer is no, is there any reason to be happy? Yeah, of course, therefore, there's many reasons to be happy. That you can see, you can move, you can blink, you can smell, you can hear. There's a lot of people can see, you know. I'll tell you one story, you know. There are, probably some of you probably saw, there's one person driving very, very fancy car, very expensive car. And right next to the person, somebody is driving helicopter. That person said, wow, I wish I could have a helicopter, but not being really content driving this very expensive car. Person right next to that, driving some other car, not really looking at the helicopter, looking at his car or her car, I'm not sure, his or her car, and hoping, oh, I wish I could have that car. Person next to that, just somebody driving bicycle. That person hoping, oh, I wish I had that car, not, no, expensive one, car. So then, right then next to that person is person somebody walking. Oh, hoping, no, maybe, you know, I should have a bicycle. So right after that person is on the wheelchair, hoping that I can just walk. Happiness, all relatives, all relatives. There is many, many reasons to be happy. There's many, many reasons to be unhappy. It's your choice. You know? You can, every day, every morning, you can choose. Should I be happy or not happy? It's no, pretty much we are the creator of our next moment of happiness. So then knowledge, you know, plays a very important role. So, okay. So then, you know, if you are interested, you know, then please try at home. Just use one object. Doesn't have, I'm not asking you to do or use objects like Buddha or something. But, you know, using a holy object, there's a benefit. There's a multiple benefit. First, it serves as an object. The second, it helps remembering holy object. It, you know, leaves some positive imprint according to Buddhist meditation. So, but you can choose any object. Just concentrate. For beginner, short. Very short. I mean, very, very short. No, that's short, you know. See. Then, when you become a little bit enjoying, then when is the best time to stop? When you enjoy, stop. Don't stop when you feel like you push and push and push and push. Then when you stop, you are not happy. Don't stop with unhappy mind. That's my point. Stop with happy mind. If you stop with unhappy mind, the next time when you see the meditation cushions, then you feel like to throw up. Then that's not good. That's unskillful when you do meditation. So, next time when you see meditation cushion, then you kind of like, you know, happy to see that. Positive mindset is very, very important. Positive mindset. Any form of meditation that we do, positive mindset is important. If not, neutral mind, neutral. With disturbing mind, we cannot meditate. We cannot, you can sit. You can, of course, sit, you know. Whatever we like to sit, you can sit. But this is just sitting. Chicken can do, chicken. Chicken can sit. Squirrel can sit. Squirrel, they can sit between the branch, sometimes like this. All the tails here, once a while, clean the nose. I'm not sure what they are doing. They are not eating anything, but they are sitting there. Go like this, maybe they're just for sitting. They're just sitting. Not in meditation. The disturbing thought, you can sit, but you cannot meditate. In order to meditate, you have to have positive mindset or neutral mindset. If you find out your mind has been disturbing, doesn't mean there's nothing you can do. There's something you can do. What you can do? Breathe. Just breathe. Breathe, exhale, inhale, one. Count here. Exhale, inhale, two. Count here. Exhale, inhale, three. That technique will neutral your mind. If your mind has been disturbed, it will neutral your mind. So then easy to think something positive out of a neutral mindset. It's very, very hard to think something positive. Your mind is already negative. It's almost impossible. Almost, not entirely impossible, but it's almost impossible. So easier to think something positive. Example, they use like fabric. White fabric is easy to dye. Any color you want. If fabric is red, it's hard to dye any color. So when your mind becomes neutral, it's like your mind becomes like white fabric, then you can dye any color. So, breathing meditation, okay, breathing meditation. 21, it's called 21 breathing meditations. You just sit, you know. No need for any prayer, just sit, breathe. Then, if you discover your mind is disturbed, then just breathe forcefully in the beginning. Of course, need to clean the nose. So, breathe forcefully. So then just visualize that your disturbing mind comes out. Then goes out of the room, out of the universe, disappears. Is that important? Yeah, it's important. What we think, that's very, very important. Not just important, very, very important. That makes difference in our life, what we think. What we visualize, if you are thinking something positive, visualize something nice, look at this, all beautiful people, you know. Same. I'm looking for happiness every moment and trying all my best to overcome suffering. Why are I judge people? No reason. They're all same. We are all same. We all have issues, you know? Why we harm each other? Much better to be kind to each other. That's the best, to be kind to each other. Doesn't matter what they do, how they live their life. What's the matter? It doesn't matter. Whether you're Buddhist or not Buddhist, what's the matter? It doesn't matter. You know? What is the matter is happy people. That's very important. Happy, having a happy people within the family, within the community, having a people who think something positive. You know? Not just me, all sentient beings. Not just me, all sentient beings. Not just American, white, or Tibetan, all. I wish all people have happiness. I wish all people have happiness. That mindset is very, very important. You get immense benefit. Whether you are thinking that through prayer, saying something, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness, then thinking about the meaning of that word, it's a beautiful meditation. It's a beautiful meditation. No? Really, you know, when you think from the root, there's no benefit at all being negative towards some people, towards religions, towards culture. No benefit at all. No benefit. You don't get any benefit. Nobody else gets benefit. If you think something good, something positive, or every life is precious. Every life. It's precious. Oh, it's something to cherish, you know, something to cherish. Oh, what you call precious in my life. Every person, every being plays very important roles for my spiritual development. I can practice patience, I can practice loving kindness. Shantideva said, you know, Miki Sinjepanayas. Meek means I. You don't have to look. When you look other people, look with eye of loving kindness, compassion. It's not just order, because that's reason why we should look at someone with eyes of love and kindness, compassion, because there's very good possibilities you could gain so much from that person. So loving kindness, compassion, patience, no? Honestly, sincerely look at that person with eyes of loving kindness, compassion. You get immense benefit. If you look at someone with angry mind, first of all, you have no happiness. You have zero happiness. You have no happiness. Second, you don't look good. When you get angry, you don't look good. Third, nobody wants to be around. Nobody wants to be around. Doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, people will not say something good about you. You know? Everybody wants to be loved, be kind, be care. Everybody, same. In that regard, you don't have extra reason, no? So, that's why the center, you know, we are trying all our best to share your information, my information, how we can be better human beings. That's all. Not like to become Buddhist or Christian, no. How to become kinder human being, have a warm heart. So then meditation is very, very important. That's why I say meditation, the power of meditation to reduce, minimize disturbing thought. Disturbing thought related to yourself, looking down, being critical, no good. Someone else, no good. Someone else, religion, no good. Culture, no good. Just think. Then eventually, tabaramjam, just pure. Tabaramjam, just pure. Just pure. No, this room it's not ordinary, there's something beautiful. All the being here, they are like something special, you know, something very special. But you are the one who's doing it, you get immense benefit, immense benefit. So when you walk around the lake, when you see someone, if you think, oh, may I wish we have happiness, cause of happiness. That's positive mindset. You get immense benefit. If you say, oh, I don't like that person's hair, you know, I don't like that person's like kind of showing up their body, there's so many negative things, one after another you can say. The bottom line, you're just being negative. you are not happy, you know. So there's no purpose of meditation. I'm just sharing that with you. Purpose of meditation is to reduce disturbing thought. Life is going to be better up, much, much better up. If you can do that, we don't need religions. Why you need religion? We don't need religion. You are kind, you are gentle, you are very sweet, very good. You'll be good in this life. If something goes on the life of this, it's going to be something good. It's going to be wonderful, you know, if you just think something positive. Doesn't mean if you become something, some like believer, or this life is going to be better. That's no guarantee. You can be very religious and at the same time you can be a very mean person. Am I right? Yeah. Nice, kind person, you know. Everybody will be happy to be around with you, like to be a friend with you. Example that I use, me and my cat, now she's already passed away, Ningje. Ningje means in Tibetan it's called compassion. So we built very close bond. Ningje has no idea I'm monk. I say prayers, she has no idea. But we bond very closely based on care, loving kindness, compassion. That's why we get close. Not because I teach her how to meditate. Not because I'm trying to convert her to Buddhism, not like that, you know. So, this is very important, All my friends here, this is very important, And honestly, what we can do, we can try. That's very important. That's why meditation is to reduce disturbing thought and minimize the best things to root out from under our mental continuum. There will be no negative, So then waking up with a positive mindset, that's meditation. That is meditation. Not just meditation, it's very productive meditation. You wake up with a positive mindset. Look at, everybody has issues. Everybody has issues, has problems. No matter how we look, how we dress, everybody has issues. That's the reason to be kind, everybody, has issues, not just me, So, positive mindset, altruistic attitude, beneficial mind, these are all very good. Beneficial mind, altruistic attitude, positive mindset, this is all good. So therefore people rely on prayer, rely on object, trying to remind them something when they look at the image. If that doesn't remind anything, that's just a piece of art. That's all. That's just a piece of art. Piece of painting, That's just somebody paint. If that reminds you of something important, so then it serves its purpose. Otherwise, it's just a piece of art. So I just want to share that with you. Then single point meditation you can try at home, Just use one object, and for beginner, very important, short, many. When you become very familiar, then few, long. That's how meditation has been done. So then you get benefit because you are the one who's meditating. You get benefit. You can use your own breath. Next 2 minutes I'm going to focus on my breath. Out, in, out, in, out, in, like that. So then maybe next Sunday, if there's more time, so then maybe we'll talk about 9-round breathing meditations, 9-round breathing meditations, how to get rid of those wasted energy, that's stuck in our channels, how to get rid of them, through 9-round breathing meditations. So now the base on the point of meditation, point or power or purpose of the meditations, so based on that, if any of you like to share or maybe something, share or something. So like the benefit, relying on the materials because it guides you step by step. It all comes down to thinking something positive, but if you have some instructions, then that helps, So then you become familiar, you're doing this 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, Then you become so familiar, then it becomes so easy. Then how you say it becomes like a piece of cake? Nobody hates piece of cake. Everyone enjoy piece of cake. Right? Or maybe it becomes like a piece of chocolate chip cookie from Whole Foods. So not right away, slowly. So then, you know, yeah, so the instruction, you know, relying on instructions, okay, that's how I'm going to think, you know, that's why in the back of the monastery, monks, they memorize. No, they don't have to have books, but they remember many, many materials by heart. So then when they walk around, they, you know, they are thinking, you know, like, that instructions reminds you importance of compassion, loving kindness. No, it's same like, you know, we are all in the same boat. Everybody has issues, you know, like, you know, we are, every being has same right to be happy. So don't disturb them. If you cannot help them, don't disturb them. If you can help them, that's the best, then help them. You know, so then like, you know, this information reminds you through materials that you review. So then you know, even though you are walking around, you are not sitting like this, you are walking around, but still you are doing very important meditation. You are thinking something positive. Otherwise, you know, doesn't require much to our mind to get disturbed. Doesn't require much. Small things destroy your habits like that. Small things. Slowly, you can expand your heart, become stronger, you know, bigger, then you know, these small things. It doesn't matter. You should let them go. Yeah, so this morning I decided to read some material, so probably better if you can say, if you want to share something. How to think positive, share something positive. In the monastery, as I said, you know, people memorize materials. That's how they do analytical meditations. They review them. Here, if you share, you know, how to think, when we wake up, how to think positive, how to think something positive. Okay? Am I making sense? No pressure. You know, if you are willing to share, I'm not putting any pressures. I very much want to hear from you. So if you can contribute, then everybody will enjoy hearing what you have to say. Yeah. Maybe next, no, we have some time here. Yeah, please, yeah.
Okay, I've tried three things.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is to...
Yeah.
Sorry. The first one is to wake up thinking, precious human life.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one. That I'm just happy to open my eyes and I'm alive and I look around and I think about what I'm happy about. And then the second thing that I've been doing, and I'm just amazed. It's like ordinary magic, is setting the intention for the day. This is what I want to try to do. This is what I hope for. This is, you know, how can I get through this day and make it be a happy one?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is, when I have a difficult time and I've been stuck in something, whatever thought, that's making me feel uncomfortable or I can't sit in my skin, I'm trying not to change it and just going, you know, you're doing this, or this is just what you have, and this is it, and this is just what you have right now, and okay, it's still here. And then like it just lifts, it just changes slightly, and I make sure I notice that it changed slightly, and then something comes that's different. And it's, by the time I've kind of stayed with myself instead of trying to run around and distract myself and kind of get rid of that or run away from it, it changes. And then I think it's like an act of grace. It's been lifted from me, and I don't know how. I just stayed with it. And that's been very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever it's worth.
Yeah, so you know, the one that she mentioned, the precious human life in the Buddhism, that's the beginning of the meditation. Precious human life. This is not a piece of garbage. This is not something that you hate. This is so meaningful. Very difficult to find, you know. Precious human life. Having that realization is very, very important. That's very good. That's exactly, as a Buddhist, when you wake up, you think about precious human life, you know? This is so precious. Why? We born as an ordinary being, but we could die as a holy being, you know? Everybody possesses Buddha natures. We all have chance to become enlightened. That's why this is so precious. This is like a boat. This is the boat is capable to cross. It's an ocean of a complication, what we call samsara. You could sail. Not sail, how do you say, sail? Yeah, you could sail across the oceans. You could sail. If you try, you could sail. This boat is to sail across these oceans. Not to just sit there. You know? This is like boat. You know, me too, like in Shanti there was a me too, means this is like considered as a boat. Dunga chuo cheletos. Complication, problem, is like lake. Not just lake, huge lake, big lake. Dunga chuo cheletos. That boat could cross that lake if you sail. So therefore, this is very precious human life, very precious. This is exactly, everybody should think, this is very precious. Precious is not based on how you look, your hair, skin, no. Precious is based on that, no, that you are capable to enlighten, that's, no, that's important. I just want to say something, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, please go on.
No, that was really good, and I was thinking a lot of the same things that you were thinking, and that's very helpful. Also, when I wake up, I try to think of something that I'm grateful for, and I know this is all redundant. We say this a lot, but it's really important. It helps shift my mind when I look around the room and I just kind of observe and go, okay, there's my cat. I'm so grateful that I have my cat and we can benefit each other. Just little things like that, waking up.
Yeah, wonderful.
Hi everyone. I kind of gravitated to what you said about being grateful. I have two sons who like to argue a lot, and as I talk them through their arguments, when things get really, really bad, I just tell them to stop. Stop everything right now and look at each other and say three things that you're grateful for about each other. And by the time they get through their three things, they're laughing together. And it just instantly turns everything around. So that was a great point about what to be grateful for and how to interject that.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
You were saying about meditation and, you know, the breath. For me, I have to keep things very simple. You know, my mind, it's you know, as I've learned to meditate, you know, you start opening all these doors and you start becoming more aware of how complicated the mind can really be, and then that could be daunting, right? So I kind of that's just the way it is. You know, it's just the way it is. It's how the mind works. And it's actually pretty fascinating when you start thinking about it, right? But I can also get very caught up in that. So I keep it simple, you know. I keep it because you start looking for these, you know, epiphanies or these spiritual, you know, and that can be daunting as well. So meditation helps me in, like, I just use it to focus on smaller moments throughout the day. For example, you know, a hard moment to get through. It'll be a small moment where I can focus and get myself into that mode where I can get through a job interview, where I can get through a conversation with somebody who's disagreeing with me, you know, and I can leave the moment feeling secure and confident without any regrets because I was able to hit that, find that, you know, whatever it is, that calmness in you where you're able to do that. You're yourself, basically, you know. You're not letting your mind get the best of you. That's what I've been learning with meditation.
Thomas, yeah, Thomas.
Yeah, I do a lot of things that people are saying right now, but one thing I say that may I work this day so I will be a benefit to all saint beings, and may I put my sacred self out there to generate good merit for all beings.
So, you know, we can purify, you know, we can purify. So I was wondering, like, we don't wear the clothes to with the mindset, oh, I'm going to make this clothes dirty. But it gets dirty over time. Then you don't have to be depressed, you can clean them. Same thing, the mind, you know, over time get kind of like dirty. Then you can clean them, you know, you can purify them. You can purify your mind, you can purify. So I'm not sure, like, as I said, no, we all have issues in the past, in the present, probably going to have issues in the future, but the past, you know, is not perfect, right? Our past is not perfect, you know. Samsara, you can't talk about perfections, there's no perfections. You know? Everybody makes a mistake, that's what you call samsara. Oh, so when you read about samsara, there's like, you know, this wave, like wild wave of actions, of thought, the beyond the actions, that has no impact on every one of us. You know, if like, if there's five people screaming, yelling, yeah, it affects your mind too. You know, you get, you know, it's hard and it's hard. If there's everybody's happy, that, you know, you get benefit. So, we can purify, okay, we can purify. So, we can regret them, we can regret, you know, what went wrong. But there's many, many things that went wrong that, you know, so say, what kind of mantra that here and where you say, could have, would have, should have, what is that? Could have, should have, would have, you know. That's not very useful. What I can do, rather than what I can change, you cannot change. Past the past, it's gone. But you can purify, huh? So, especially here in the West, yeah, we all have no, like, memories in our life, in past, not like life before this, but in the past, not just like, not every memory is something wonderful, but we can purify, So, in the purification practice, according to Buddhism, one of the important components is regret, not guilt. I regret, not guilt. Regretting towards something negative is positive. Regretting towards something positive, that's negative. Regret can be both, positive and negative. Guilt is always negative. Please, don't ever think that you are a bad person because you did something wrong. That's your deed. It's not you. It's your deed. It can be changed. If that's you, there's no hope. We have to differentiate our deed and ourself. The self, as far as self is concerned, capable to get enlightened. As far as deed is concerned, the negative deed will never get enlightened. To be in the more passages, Buddha sees as an action as a problem, not the person. The person has to know capable to be enlightened. So we can purify. So I'm not sure how many of you are believing in purifications. Letting go, that also comes from purification, you know, you purify, you know. Then here outside the center there we have this, you know, what you call stupa, that we built here. When you read the benefit of going around, how much negative comes, purify that, is like mind-blowing. How hard is that, going one round? It's not that hard, you know. Somebody purifies so much negative karma, chased by somebody, you know, running out of life, purifies. We go around with intentions. for world peace or universal peace, you go around, it purifies. The Buddha knows not everybody is going to sit and meditate. Buddha knows that very well, you know. But everybody has no time to sit and meditate because people have to take care of their children, they have to do so many chores, they have to take care of house, go to work. Doesn't mean there's no way to purify. Yet you go around, you know, reciting these mantras and you go around, doing something, you know, like service, providing service, you know, meals on wheels, volunteering that, or purify. Anything positive or thinking something positive purifies too. Okay, so can be purified. So think that you are precious. Life is meaningful, so difficult to find, so precious. Why I'm saying this again and again, probably I've said this a million times. That's exactly what we should think. That's what we must think. This is something precious. What we should not think, oh, this is something negative, I hate myself, I don't like myself, this and that. No benefit at all. No benefit. There's no benefit of disturbing thought. There's no benefit at all. There's no zero benefit. Zero benefit. Zero benefit. Positive thought, every positive thought has benefit. It will benefit you, it will benefit whole world. It benefits the communities, it benefits. Therefore, nothing to do with religion, sake of your own happiness, must think something positive. Something positive. Okay, Can you read that? So, thank you for coming here to the center and wish you all happy Independence Day. Happy Independence Day with positive thought. Positive mind.
In the prayer, in the Go prayer book, if you'll turn to page 246 and 247, and it's if you have the white binder, just look at the back of the sheet that says Kadampa Center Prayers, and we'll read the dedication from Master Shanti Deva's Bodhicaryavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Good morning. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to let you know that we have a couple of Tibetan refugees in our community who are looking for work. They're legally in the United States. They're legal to work. One is Geshe Sangpo's sister-in-law, Kelsung. She's especially interested in working in a Whole Foods store, so if anyone's got a connection there, let us know. We want to get those warm chocolate chip cookies. And then Gay Norbu's nephew, Kunsang, is looking for work in construction or in a hotel. So again, if you know of an opening, just let me know, and I'll help you hook up with them. This Wednesday is a very important day. It is His Holiness's birthday. He will be 81 years old. We'll have a big birthday celebration for him next Sunday with cake. No party is complete without cake. But also if you wanted to make an offering for His Holiness on his birthday, any kind of practice of compassion, you can buy some bait worms and release them. Just any kindness that you do, and remember to dedicate it for his long life. Thank you.